Welcome, everybody. Hello. It's been a while, and I'm just going to say hi, everybody. Hello there. Okay.
Hello.
Hey, hi there. Hi.
Hello.
Hello. It seems like it was a while. I don't know why. Maybe because just the energy is all different, and we're in a new time and in a new month. And so there's not very many questions today. And maybe we'll just go over these first and then go through the program as we usually do. Just talk to everybody who can't talk to me tomorrow at 12:30 my time here. And then we'll just be still together. It is astrologically, as I mentioned, there's an eclipse tomorrow and everybody talks about it. I saw a diagram, you know, how all the planets are in this one house. So it looks very crazy. And I find it's a very beautiful energy. But, you know, many of you also said you feel like, my goodness, some karma dropped and it feels very liberating. But that should probably be a sign that you've done a lot of work and that you can experience this letting go and this liberation of something that doesn't work for you anymore. You're experiencing as something really good and very pleasant, where others that have resistance are going to experience their resistance and also the repercussions of it in some form, you know, and maybe emotionally, mentally, or physically. So there was a question regarding Shankara's book, and I think it's important to go over that because it's so fundamental to understanding why we actually meditate. And Shankara talks about the withdrawal of the senses, that if we are, let me read you exactly, when there's attachment to body, objects, and persons, it's considered fatal. And it is the secret for liberation that we are not attached. And how to actually do this? How do we not, what are these senses of enjoyment? When we look at the anatomy, according to the Shankya anatomy, where there is the source, the unmanifest, and that's what you experience when there is just nothing. And there's no movement. And then there's all that moves and that causes light and form. And when there's movement, we cause time and space because something's going from here to there. And when that happens, desire is born because it is desiring to go somewhere. There's a goal, right? There's a movement towards something. And when there's a movement towards something, it kind of sprouts the senses. And I'm going to simplify this. I would need you to see a diagram. I might upload a diagram about that. You basically are sprouting this wanting to see, for example. Okay? And so in order to actually then see, then you bring forward the seeingness because there's a wanting, a desire, and from there they come eyes. And from the eyes are born the organs of execution, which for the eyes are the feet because they're then where I'm seeing, where I'm going. So, and this is going to the future. So we're in time suddenly. So this primordial consciousness that just existed is beginning to move and it is basically causing the world of forms. And what Shankara says is that when you confuse yourself with this sprouting, with this moving outward and with the sense organs, then you are suffering because everything in duality comes and goes, and your sense organs are your ears, your skin, the touching, the hearing, the smelling, the tasting, and that is the windows of the mind. So these are the organs of the mind. Without those, there wouldn't be any sensory experience. And it's called pratyahara in yoga when you withdraw. You as consciousness, you withdraw yourself from the senses. And then you're basically just resting in pure awareness. And the other question that pertains to that. There was another question. This person is asking that if I was in, when everything is indrawn and quieted, and I have, and I'm holding back my senses, I thought I was supposed to be aware of something. I thought our meditation was about awareness. And sometimes when I meditate, there are no thoughts, but I might be listening to a sound in the ear or a sound outside, or I feel the energy or the heat. Am I meditating wrong here? How do I seize all the sense organs, the mind and the intellect, right? Well, they were born. They already exist. And also you want them to continue to exist because you want to get up after your meditation, go on with your life, right? But you're practicing to separate yourself from the movement of consciousness. And you're beginning to realize that you are consciousness itself. You are the source that doesn't need to actually move. You are realizing what is already and has always been. And you're not looking through the windows of the mind to, let's say, a sensation, let's say the heat or the sound, in order to read about yourself and to feed back through the mind and say, oh, this is who I am and this is what it means. This is the detour. Going through the senses is a detour of finding out who you are. So you're not aware of, you don't really care about being aware of anything specifically. You just let it all be. And in the beginning, it's all about, you know, the thinking and the thoughts and all that. And but then once you go, you know, you don't care anymore about the thoughts, then you're beginning to kind of withdraw yourself more and more from these subtle movement outwards. And that is then, you know, the meditation practice you do. It becomes subtler and subtler of remaining quiet, remaining still as consciousness, and not following all these distractions, because the world is always moving. There's always a distraction, subtle and not so subtle, and so on. So the practice is to ignore all of it and to collapse back into who you are, because the mind is just a function that we climb into, like you as consciousness, you like the hand climbing into a glove. You know, you as consciousness, you slip into the mind with your five senses. Literally, if you look at your hand, it has five fingers. That tells you that your hand is a very powerful. There's a lot of knowledge in your hand. There's no coincidence that it has five fingers. So the other question was about deities. Why would deities manifest as humans? And I'm not sure if I had this conversation more publicly in the group or not. But the question was, do deities incarnate as humans? Yes. And why would they do that? Because they are so eternally youthful and they have everything. They have all these superpowers. And yes, it is because they are stuck in their life. They don't have the freedom, the free will that we have as humans to awaken in one lifetime. There's, as far as I was told, so, you know, Lakshmi is about 350,000 years old, or long as her lifespan. It might be not correct. Maybe it's 350 million years. Numbers, I don't want to confuse you, but essentially it's very, very, very long. And there are many, 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 many deities as well. And when we look at this situation that we as humans actually have the chakras, the rainbow, you know, bridge or core through which we can come conscious of everything that exists in this universe, at least this part of the universe, this quarter of the universe that's manifest, and that we can basically exit through our own doing and through grace as well, which the deities, they have a different life. They can't do that. But there's another element to that. The density of this planet makes evolution extremely fast, and especially in the Kali Yuga, which is the densest. So everything you do here, every little thing that seems like sometimes, you know, to us is like, oh my God, I've been working on this for so long. It's extremely fast, because if you don't have resistance, one teacher said, it's like rowing a boat in air. You really don't go anywhere. But if you row it in water and there's resistance, you move forward. So we're rowing in water, you know, when we're in physical incarnation. So there's incredible evolution possible. And the deities don't see the human incarnation as a bad thing, really. I mean, for them, it would be like, we're so creative. We when we really acclaim our ability, our divine ability to create, then it looks different, right? We just can, we there's so many possibilities. So yes, deities do incarnate, and not just deities, there's a tremendous amount of different kinds of souls on this planet, and sometimes you can see it. If you're a little psychic, you see sometimes the different kingdoms or the different beings. And that brings me to the next question about starseed that you, Kasri, brought up today. Is that, what's the significance of that, or how does that fit into the context of awakening? Well, first of all, just simply as a practice, is whatever you can name and whatever is a subject of discussion is part of the whole universe. And waking up out of the dream of forms means that it's just another thing. It's like saying there's an Englishman or a Swedish person, and there's a starseed, and there is another, you know, person. It's just another label. It tells us a little bit about the history of the soul. And in right now, because it's all perspective, right now, as people are becoming more conscious, this generation has become more conscious, we're noticing that, oh, you know, we aren't just people that live in this country. We're global citizens, but it seems like we're actually more than that. We're in touch with our soul and our history and these different incarnations we had in different places, not just on this planet. And as we become conscious of certain traits, people begin, you know, again, like we always do as humans, we categorize things, and suddenly we have new categories. These categories can be helpful, but they can also be limiting. And awake, to be awake means use everything fluidly. Use it in order to, it becomes a step to move forward, become more free. It might confirm something for you. It's like seeing something, becoming aware, and then you let it go. Don't identify. So it doesn't matter. Essentially, we're all starseed. I mean, we're all coming from one source. We're all everything. And it's really not that important. If it's temporarily helping you to access a frequency that you have shut down because you were denied to be a particular creative being or had particular abilities. Let's say you were telepathic and your parents were shutting that down, and you become aware of, like, wow, you know, of certain things, I'm a starseed, I have all these abilities. Then in that moment it becomes a good thing and you embrace it, but then you move on. Just as people 100 years ago or less than that, I had to say, you know, my color is black. And I'm not just a slave, I'm a human being, but I am black and I'm okay with that and I'm proud of it. And then you embrace that and change the meaning of it, and then you move on. So that's pretty much the same. So essentially, awakening is all about withdrawing of the senses, allowing yourself to collapse back into who you are. And if you have to think about who you are, then it's not helping at all, you know, to wake up. It's a psychological step, but that's psyche. Psyche is not enlightenment. So that's pretty much all the questions that came, you know, up. So I know that there was a tremendous amount of going all over this place, you know, since we've been the new year, and it was a lot of difficult clearing and distractions that were going on for some. Everybody is doing their own little journey, and I can notice some things are deepening, some things are falling away. And just consider it all perfect, because it is. And when you even look back for a moment how you were when you started, I'm getting a lot of essays. Thank you for sending them in. So now I'm getting so many at once that it'll take me a while to go through them. And so you are, what I'm reading most of the time is that I'm a completely different person. I'm completely changed. And that's awesome. And I'm happy you can see that, and I'm happy you can recognize that. And the other thing I'm noticing, some of you mentioning, is that you're becoming more and more independent. You're finding your own answers. You're becoming more psychic. You're becoming more empowered, healing yourself, learning what is healing really. The title of this module was Becoming a True Healer. And what that really means is to not fix, but essentially know yourself, who you are, and allow everything that is old and crystallized to just collapse back into the core, back into source. And in that way, you become very, very, very skillful in living, and your psychic skills are coming on board. Like, I can't remember who said that today, is that everything comes to you all at once. Maybe it was Kathleen. It's just like, because when you're so centered inside of yourself, there's the linear goes away, and everything just comes to you like one big clear story, and it just drops into your mind, and it unfolds like a star, you know, and everything is there. So just, we still have a few months to go, and just know that we're going to move towards the initiation, which will be in the first weekend in August, and I will be doing it on a group call. And that before the initiation, you might already start noticing things. And it hasn't started yet, it's still early, but there'll be another, like, I think not just one growth, you know, spurt, that's not the right word, but another, change within you, and transformation. So I'm going to take some calls here now. So the first person that has her hand up is Ruth Jean. So I'm just going to unmute you. Hi, Ruth Jean.
Hi, Aratima. Good evening. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening. Hi.
Hi. I'm just so happy to connect with you, Aratima, if possible.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. Yes. Yeah. You've been having some great energy. I can feel that. That's wonderful. Yes. 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 Wonderful. Yeah, and just keep flowing with that joy that's arising out of the stillness. And,
yes.
And that's all you can do right now. That's your practice. Isn't that beautiful?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, bye. Okay, and then I'm going to take, this is New York. Is that Christine or Danielle?
It's Christine.
Hi, Christine.
Hi, everybody. How are you? Hi, Aritma. How are you?
I'm good. Yes. Yes. Very good.
I wanted to connect with you. And I also wanted to say that I've been trying to behave like royalty.
And
I'm really having a hard time with it. And I get why you said it, and it's so much fun, and I want to do it, but it doesn't come very easy to me. And, I just wanted some clearing. Maybe you can just give me some guidance with that.
Well, my guidance is for you to, when it's what is not easy, that you're always obviously noticing some resistance or some feelings, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so
yes.
Then basically you stay with that and let your awareness burn these feelings away. Don't make them real. Just allow them to pass through. Continue to do it anyway. You're listening to the feelings. You see, you're reacting instead of just ignoring them, because they're not supposed to run your life. You give them power.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Why does it make so much sense when you say it? And I get it. I get it.
I can answer that, actually, if you want an answer for that.
I do. I would love that. Yes.
It's actually a really smart question. If you say it, it's because there's no depth to it. There is no, you don't know it. But when I say it, I carry with it a reality that knows that the emotions aren't important. And so when I say it, you can hear it. It's in my voice, right? Or it's in the space. And suddenly it has more weight than your disbelief.
Yes.
Can you feel that?
It does. I definitely feel that. I feel that.
Good. Yes. And sometimes some people, you know, some people that believe in Jesus, they sometimes there's a way that they think, what would Jesus do or what would Jesus say? That's by you lock yourself or tune yourself to the mind of the master, and then it helps you to like, oh yeah, of course it would feel really weird. That person wouldn't. Would Jesus let himself get tripped up about it? No. So and then he kind of helps you to go past it. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Don't trust your thoughts and your feelings if they are giving you suffering, right?
But that's so hard. I understand why I shouldn't do that and why it doesn't serve me, but it's, you know, conditioning, and I'm working on it. I mean, I realize it's a process.
It's more than conditioning. It's very deep. Everybody's run. In Ayurveda, we talk all about elements, right? You're deeply governed by water because you're a very emotional person. And so you're
Are you talking about me specifically?
Yes, you.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you're saying that because water is a big thing for me. I mean, a big, big thing. Since I was a baby, water running, I would have I would freak out. I would just... And yet I need to be near water. So that's really bizarre that you're saying that.
Exactly. Yeah. I can see it in your face and your nature, how your energy flows, you know. So we're all a little different. There are four elements, and there's ether in which all of that exists. So if so your main attachment is water. That's your main attachment. So that's really, it's an attachment, also repulsion, you know, both attraction, aversion, right? So anything that has to do with, because emotions are run and governed by water. So this is your greatest obstacle. If once you have mastered your emotions, you are going to have like, wow, you know, it's going to be so easy for you, just free. That's your, you know, the deepest attachment. And that will show itself up in areas in your body as well that have to do with governed by water or anything that is sort of related to that, you know, because nothing is separate, right? I spoke in the beginning, I think I will send everybody, I will upload it in the fifth module, the diagram of the Prakriti and Prakruti, Manas, you know, all these, how the intelligence and then the sense organs and how this all comes into manifestation. And then you will see we're just made out of these elements, and these elements are born because there's a desire to wanting to experience. So we project something out. It's like you want to ride a bicycle, you have this feeling, and then you need this object, and then you begin to build it, and then you have your bicycle, right?
Okay.
So you had a desire to have a body, so you project yourself into this body, and it had a particular dominance for an attachment to water. And usually that comes because there could have been, if you were, let's say, a very highly evolved master and you had used cities that had to do with water, walking on water or something, and that when you attach yourself to it, then you will have to go through the whole water element and the evolution of that mastering. And it's a very complex universe. But I'm kind of giving you a taste by transmitting something to you right now. It's coming like a blob towards you. I don't know if you can feel that.
I can feel it in my body, but I don't understand it.
Don't worry.
I'm
it's going to,
it
might unfold in this life or in the next life. I am just transmitting something to you about how it will help you to awaken to the deeper functioning and how you brought yourself into existence and how to free yourself.
Oh, God.
Okay.
That just hearing you say that makes me feel so free. And I'm excited. I'm just excited. That's wonderful.
Awesome. Yeah. So don't trust your, just watch them. Don't trust your emotions. Go back to truth, which will feel very weird to you. It will feel cold and sober. But that's where you have to be very clear. It's like when you have to pay attention to something very, and you can't get distracted by your emotions, you know.
Okay. So can I'm sorry to take so much time, but can you just tell me what I can do about the water. Should I be more near it? Should I reject it?
It's not about what you do. This is a coping mechanism. You as consciousness have to realize that when something arises in your experience around water, you have to be neither attracted nor repulsed. You fall back into stillness, into your core.
Okay.
Because when you try to do something about it, it's like a sticky net. You go deeper and deeper into manifestation, into karma.
Mm. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. I do. I understand.
Ignore
that.
It. Good. Just ignore it. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you so much.
Awesome.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. It's interesting where we always go. Okay. Now is B in Singapore. Hello. Good morning. Hello. I think you have your microphone off, B. We can't hear you. I'm going to give you a moment to figure that out and I'll come back to you, okay? Oh, there she is. Hello?
What about now?
Okay, I'm going to just unmute you for a moment, okay? Because it was a little harsh. Let's try it again. Okay, B, are you there?
I am here.
It's very hard to hear. Okay. I'm going to give you a moment. I'm going to talk to somebody else, B, and I'll come back to you. Maybe you can figure something out. So this is in New York again. Is that Danielle?
Yes, it's Danielle.
Hi there.
Hi. That was very interesting, everything that was with the last caller.
Yeah, that? I didn't expect that to come up. Wow.
Right. I just wanted to say hello and thank you for everything.
Oh, thanks, Danielle. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I got your essay. Well, I'll look at that. And if there's anything to comment, I'll let you know. Just kind of be together here for a moment. Things are getting a little easier for you now, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, yeah. It's nice. When you meditate, are you how much are you meditating on the forehead point in the center of the head, and is that less or more on the bottom, or where is your main point?
I feel most naturally drawn to the head point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have felt some pressure in that area. It might be the third eye, could be the crown as well recently.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of moving back and forth. So there's something, you know, when sometimes it's like it kind of wants to get unstuck. So keep doing it. You'll probably just pop through, you know. But you're quite, your belly point is pretty good. So that's good. You know, you might alternate with the heart a little bit, and or just kind of, if you can, just slip all the way into the core and just don't care about any of the points. But just continue doing what you're doing.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, all right, thanks. Yeah. Thanks. Thank you, Danielle. Bye. Okay, so I think I lost B now. Where is she? Okay. So this is 0421-042.
Hello, Rathima.
Oh, right. You're here. Okay.
I'm here. How are you? Thanks for answering the question.
Was that all clear enough? Did I explain that properly?
Yeah, you did. I have to, of course, listen to it again, and I'm sure I'll understand
it.
Yeah. I just have to hear it through again. But yeah,
okay.
That was cool.
Okay. Good. Anything else or just connecting?
I'm connecting.
Okay.
Very loud here.
that's okay. I got totally, I didn't even hear it. I just noticing your heart. So that's very nice. Yeah. You're, that's very beautiful. I might say this to the men, that a man is first going to really open the heart. It's his nature. And then later is going into more that yana yoga, all that intellectual stuff. So don't worry so much if you don't understand it all, although keep asking, that's okay. But just keep working on this heart that feels really good.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Awesome, thank you.
Cool.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Ratima.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Bye. And then this is Linda. Hi, Linda.
Oh, hi, Ratima. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Great. I just wanted to connect with you. I feel
okay.
Like I've been through a storm and come out the other side into the fresh air.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Do you want to go a little deeper, Linda?
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. Did you notice that?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Well, just remain still and whatever you're doing. Okay. Thanks, Linda.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. And now we have somebody here at 6124. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, who's that?
It's Nadia.
Oh, Nadia. Hi there.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. Good. It's a good day.
Always love it if I can get to talk to you. But also, I've got a lot happening at the moment, starting the new job, and things that I had in a bit of a routine early in the morning, having to leave so much earlier, I don't get to. So I suppose just looking at fitting everything in a little bit better.
Are you talking about just sitting meditation or what else?
Yeah, so really that's the thing I most enjoyed early in the mornings before I got started for the day. So now I feel a little bit out of whack not getting time to get that done beforehand. It's always rushed and it was something I was enjoying.
Good. Well, there's something you, and it has to do just with making choices. If you are seeing the benefits and the quality of your life that comes from taking the time to meditate and then really meet the day with this strength and clarity, then get up a little bit earlier, 20 minutes earlier. And if you feel like, I need to sleep and I'm just going to be too tired and you feel like you're not getting sucked into this whole new, the busyness of the day, because you have to really weigh this, because then it'll going to cost you more energy, go into a cycle of being more tired and all the things that people get through, the projections.
Yes.
And all that stuff that you then get caught up and you don't know 3 weeks later, you notice, oh my God, I'm completely caught up with life and I forgot who I am. Right?
Yes.
Then
yes.
It's not worth it.
Yeah.
So.
No, you're right. I could do that, or just make sure in the evenings when I get home and put the kids to bed, just probably having it at a set time. But it was nice to start that way, so I'll try and get up earlier. And if I can't, I'll just make sure I fit it in later more regularly.
Mm-hmm. And when you speak like that and tell me the story, then you're also telling me that life has a bit more power over Nadia, over who you are and what you truly want. Did you notice that?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. You're laughing, right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't want that, right? You want to make sure.
Not
that,
really, no.
Yeah, you
no,
want
to. I want
be,
to.
Mm-hmm. You want to
direct
be
it a bit more.
Exactly. Not just a bit, all the way, right? I mean, in the sense of making choices, you know, you can't control life, but making the choices that always are in favor of reality, of truth, what is true to you.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks for asking.
And I think being a bit more conscious of that and working out what I really do want and bringing it into line with that would help, yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, and especially as, because you're a mother, right? So especially when you have all these, and this is a great gym, right? When you have all these distractions all the time, it's like such a great yoga not to buy into any of it, you know? Right? Because the distractions are a result of you being distracted within yourself from your own core. But the more centered you are, the more clear, then the outside world will begin to also run more smoothly. So just remember, you're the center point of your projections. Do you follow?
Okay, so how do I go about... I'm the center point of my projections. How do I get there? So I just...
First you
at
have to understand
it.
First you have to claim it, understand it, and it's just like, oh yeah, that's the truth. I might not have experienced it, but I'm gonna trust this because everybody says it throughout the ages. All right. I'm not the only one.
Okay, I can go with that.
Okay.
I can go with that.
Good. And then you basically make sure you do everything that brings you back to that center point, which is meditation, which is breathing, with whatever it is for you that basically recenters you so that you are not being distracted and giving your power away.
No, I'm better with that now. Yes, I can go with that. I can do something with that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Nadia. Thank you. Okay, thanks. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Okay, so I have... It's 3:01 in Waldorf. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there. Who's that?
Hi, this is Melissa.
Hi, Melissa. Hi there.
Hi.
Thanks for calling in.
Yes, I just wanted to connect with you.
Okay. And then just drop a little deeper into the cave of Brahman, into the center of your head, into where there's nothing, just no locating yourself anywhere. You're everywhere and nowhere. There you go. Beautiful. Did you feel that?
Maybe a little bit.
Okay, no worries.
I'm actually was distracted because when your last call, it was interesting. My son actually called through whenever you were talking to the last person, so I did not click over and take his call. So trying to set my boundary there.
Oh, okay, okay.
So, yeah.
Okay, yeah. You know, when consciousness shifts and moves, you might not always, the mind doesn't always catch it. So when I ask you, did you notice that? It's not necessary that you noticed it, right?
Okay.
At the same time, something changed within you as consciousness. And so.
Okay.
Okay.
That'll be great. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Thanks. Okay. This is Jen. Hi there. Hello.
Hi, hello. Emma.
Hi there.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Right. How are you? Yeah. Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually just sitting here with something that's probably arisen this morning within me, and I hope I express it okay, or even better than okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I've had some beautiful times within my life that are happening, and it's really good to see, you know, joy and lots of fun and, you know, just so many good things happening and a lot of play, which is, you know, I'm good at play. But what I'm sitting with this morning, and I think it's come after writing the essay to you, and how do I put it? I feel that, and you've already touched on something about claiming your ability, your divine creativity, and something that's kind of there for me, and I've seen glimpses of it, is about my ability. And if it's all mine, just please tell me, but I'm not sure if I've brought this in with me or if it's...
So there's something that's a problem for you?
Yeah, it just seems to be like, maybe as a child, I sort of never knew why I was put in school. I was quite astonished I was there. On that level, it was like I probably didn't fit the school system and reach the marks and everything I was meant to. And so there was a time where I thought, okay, I've got to learn a lot and I've got to get high marks, you know. So I learned to become a little bit more, say, intellectual or something. But it's been with me, this sense, for a long time, and I just don't know if it's something I've come in with or it's just something I've collected and gone, okay, this is how it's going to be. I don't know if that makes sense, but, and I'm trying to put it into something, but it's...
Well, you know, we're born, when we take birth, we are come with positive traits and negative traits, and that's labeled depending on culture and what you choose it to label, if you label it good or bad. And so there's a learning there, a rejection, and that's okay too, because our incarnation is full of things we like and dislike, or others don't like or like. It's the attraction aversion, and I think that can you see how your mind is completely zoomed into that and really glued to the page? It's like you look very close up, you're looking at something, and it has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
Can you feel that? I want you to sense it. Can you sense it, how unimportant it is, when it happened, what it is? Can you sense that?
Yeah, I can feel that in my heart. And
there you go.
And I do know that, like you said, someone else, I do know it's not important, but...
Who is saying but? Let's look at it. Who is the but?
Bugger it.
Okay, you are saying but because... Why? Why are you saying but? This is important. Do you want to look at it?
Yeah, okay. Okay, this is a strong pull again in the heart. Maybe I just don't believe it. Maybe I don't believe in myself.
That's a thought. Doesn't matter. Okay, yeah, that's a thought. Bugger.
I was a bum that time. Oh, far out. Okay.
Yeah. So there's lots of thoughts, and there's subtler thoughts, which you call feelings, and then subtler thoughts, which you call, you know, sensations in the body. There's a lot of thoughts. There's a lot of mind activity. And so when you meditate, is that still all going on, or are you actually still?
Meditation has changed a lot. But I notice this, with meditation, I know sometimes there's a stream of thoughts going through, but I don't feel attached to it. Or anything like that. But this morning it was a wee bit different. I was aware of the thoughts, and I was having to come back in to meditation.
Good. So when you, and especially sometimes there's more thrown at us, more of your karmas are coming up, and your space, the size of your aura, your ability to hold more karma or process or let it go back home is not capable. You fall over, you begin to believe it. So what you do is you sit longer or more often, you know, or you do some breathing or something. Don't let yourself get tripped up. When you're, because you can notice you're suffering, right? And just, you know, notice that and just know, oh my God. And it's okay to be all caught up. It's like, you know, if you say, oh, I fell out of the core, where's the core? I can't get in the core. Mm-hmm. That's a thought too. You just notice, oh, you're suffering and be okay, warmly okay. And the moment your heart opens, you feel that, right? And you know, it's all passing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know, mm-hmm. next meditation feel, you know, it's different again. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Jen. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye. Okay. So now I'm going to try you B. Hello. Let's check what that's like. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, that's much better. Good. Okay. Perfect. Thanks for fixing that.
Good morning, Guru Ma.
Good morning. Good morning. Is there anything on your mind and heart, or just be here?
I felt that I'm falling apart, but yet at the same time, I'm whole. I guess I'm just too logical.
You're too logical?
Yeah, my mind.
That doesn't matter. Is it your mind, or is it whose mind is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, the descriptions are not important, not for waking up. The descriptions are just, they get exchanged, right? Right now you're a woman, you live in this country, you do this and this, maybe you do something else, you get married, then maybe this happens, you make money, you lose money, then you get reborn, then you're in a different country, and the descriptions change, your clothes change, your haircut changes, your color of your eyes will change from lifetime to lifetime. It's not important if you want to look at who am I, okay? And the invitation is to look first to that. Then you can enjoy all the different descriptions and you have mastery over them. Mm. So, is there pain somewhere right now, suffering?
I felt that I'm not going deep enough. And there's so much happening in the elusive world that I'm always caught up with it.
Are you caught up with it or your mind?
Yeah.
That awareness that's conscious right now, right? That is that looking out of your eyes. Is that caught up? Can that be caught up?
Out of the eyes. No, but in the eyes, yes.
That's right. In the eyes, you can get caught up. Of course, the eyes are caught up, but that which is prior to the seeing, that which makes eyes see you, is that caught up?
No.
Mm. Good. Yeah. So it's everything's okay.
At the end of the day, everything's okay because I realized that.
Let it be in the beginning of the day too, and in the middle, in the afternoon too for tea.
I felt that I'm not going deep enough in my meditation. It's like I don't think I'm achieving like any. Okay, that is expectation.
Yes, good. You saw that. Mm-hmm. So you just sit, you look at the clock, whatever, 20 minutes, half an hour or longer. You sit, that's your meditate. And when you do that, don't do anything. Do nothing, you know. The less you do, the better. Do nothing, less and less and less and less and less nothing. When you catch yourself, you know, doing something, then stop doing that. It's really getting absolute rest as consciousness. When we sleep, we don't even get that rest. Not in a deep sleep. You know, there's a lot of, like I said, sleeping is work too. It's meditation, real meditation. When you let go as consciousness, that's when you get a real rest. That's when you don't age, when time stands still, when you really heal without knowing what exactly is happening. But that's when the magic happens.
So is the consciousness being very sharp for noticing any slight, movement?
your consciousness is very sharp. You're noticing. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, you're becoming more aware. And when the more aware we are, then the trick comes to not use that to control the world, but to actually relax even more, to bring the heart in and just let it all be and just, you know, relax even more and just know it's okay. Because the more you can be aware of, it's like having a small house. You only have two rooms to clean, right? And two dishes. Suddenly you have like a 7-bedroom house and you got like two sets of, you know, dishes and porcelains and all this. Suddenly all this stuff has to be cleaned. The more awareness there is, the more you can be caught up and the more exhausting it is. So you want to become aware. You become aware of the whole universe, essentially. But you want to do less and less. Otherwise, it won't work.
So I'm becoming aware and I'm doing more and more.
Then you are caught up. You have to really pull back. Yeah, yeah. Just pull back. And maybe you want to really meditate on your heart and just start with like, I'm okay the way I am. And I'm something work with, you know, your deep programming of achieving things. You know, that you love your parents, you love your culture, you love everything. You're grateful that you got received that imprint. But you're more than that. You're prior to that. You chose that, but you can also take a rest from it. You know, to really kind of pull yourself out regularly. Do that for next, you know, few days. To just from the heart, just grateful and pull yourself out. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks, B. Bye. Okay, the next person is Kasri. Hi, Kasri. Hello.
Hi, Arasna.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I just wanted to connect, and I did have a kind of a small question that might be kind of petty, but...
Mm. Okay.
Well, kind of maybe relates a bit to Nadia, perhaps. I'm living with people that I'm living with. I have 4 roommates, and they're all young. And the house is not very soundproof. And being so sensitive, anyway, I hear everything. They go to the bathroom at night, and it's almost like a slamming door. I hear every time they go to the bathroom, and I'm kind of sleep deprived. And I'm wondering how can I rise above that, or how do I not let that affect me and just.
Let me tell you a story. I know what you're saying because, you know, we're all sensitive and become more aware, right? I spoke to B about it, how we're becoming more aware. When we were children, very young, and our parents, you know, maybe sometimes they left the door a little bit open and they were doing the dishes or the TV was on or whatever was going on, it was very comforting to us. There was all these noises. I mean, when we're in Italy, there was marble floors. It was incredibly noisy. It was incredibly noisy. You heard everything. There were 10 people in the house. But that was soothing because the interpretation was different. The reason why you can't sleep and suffer is because you have an aversion. The interpretation, the labeling is not suiting you. Why don't we turn this around? And when you hear all this and just invite it into your aura, invite it into your heart and just know that there's people and you're not alone and there's life and you're safe and the birds are outside and there's people enjoying their evening and whatever that is and we're all this house together and then suddenly it can really change and it can be very comforting.
Oh, that made me cry.
Yeah, because you're not alone. I mean, just imagine we'd be all alone. Other people are also giving us energy. Everybody's like a battery, so they're also supporting you in ways. There's just opening your heart and just I do this, you know, when I'm in motels or somewhere where it's extremely noisy. You know, I just know that there's life. And or when I was in the East, you know, when you go to Malaysia. Or India or anywhere, you know, I don't know how it is where B lives in Singapore, but my God, they never sleep, these people. It's like all around the clock and it's very noisy. Or even in Florence, like at 1:30 is the last person you hear and at 3:00 in the morning, everything starts again. It's an hour of quiet. And it's incredibly noisy. So I just allow these sounds to just become like a lullaby.
Wow, that's so beautiful, especially because the people I'm living with are just so beautiful. And I think what made me sad, there was a sadness. It was like, they're so beautiful, and I was being resentful towards them, and that hurt.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to have a resentment towards them when they're so lovely and loving towards me.
Okay, why don't we turn this around and just, instead of feeling sadness about this, what about feeling happy that you discovered this right now? You discovered this information. It's like, wow, that's awesome. I can do this now.
Yeah.
Choose always that which makes you happy. And when you notice you're unhappy, what would be the next best thing, you know?
Yeah, okay. Okay. I had other questions, but I'll try tomorrow about the business and money and all that kind of stuff if we have time tomorrow.
Okay, we'll do that. Okay, great. Thanks, Kazi. Okay, do that.
Okay,
bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, this is Alberta. Oh, this is Katya. Hi there, Katya.
Hello. Hi there. I have a couple of questions, if time permits. So the first one, I normally wake up around 5:30 in the morning to meditate, and I do it in bed while my husband is still sleeping. So I just wanted to check with you if that's okay, or do I need to try to find a different space?
Oh, no, you're doing it. You can meditate wherever you want. And so you're in the same bedroom, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. No, he'll probably have a great sleep when you're meditating.
Okay. So that's not a problem. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Another question. I know when you spoke to Christine about water and all of that, so obviously I'm water too, but I had a question. How does it relate to Ayurvedic composition types? So being water as an element and pitta, which is also water and fire, it seems like there is a lot of water.
Well, the doshas are the combinations, you know. Once you start out from the unmanifest, and then it kind of is like sort of a spectrum, it becomes denser and denser and becomes more solidified. So by the time you're a body, the elements begin to blend, like they connect, right? You got the earth and the water, which creates kapha, and you got the pitta, which is the fire with a little bit of water, it's oily, and then you got, you know, the air and the space. And they're not all by themselves. They're blended, right?
Mm-hmm.
And but if you kind of pull back a little bit, I'm looking at another angle, a little bit deeper, which kind of shows also in sort of the movement of the face and how somebody is very emotional or not, or somebody's very still, or somebody's very dynamic. I look at what element is actually very strong, more... I don't know if it's we can see on the soul level, but it feels like deeper inside, you know, that I kind of see patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're not really connected, right? Well, they are, but... Okay. Okay, and one more question. When are you going to do the activation? So you said you'll do it over the phone. Sorry, not the activation. What's the right word?
Initiation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So how does it work? So do you just give it out there and then we receive it when we're ready, or do we receive it right away?
Oh, you receive it the moment I do it. You will, I will probably prepare a piece of paper that you will read, where you can then afterwards also, you know, repeat that initiation over and over again. But no, it'll happen live. It'll happen in the, it'll probably take a few seconds. Whatever is most potent goes fast.
Okay. And when you repeat it, does it go deeper and deeper and it just works on different level? Okay.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Okay, wonderful. That's all the questions I had.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Thanks. Okay, and then this is Cindy. This is our last one. Hello, Cindy. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Good. So I'm just connecting.
You have a cold, right? Have you ever cold?
No, I think I've got just the mucus in my body is just a bit much at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm just wanting to connect. I feel like I'm going through a cleansing process. And also I want to know, you know, I'm not discerning what's mine and what might be happening on a country level, because there's a lot going on here at the moment, you know, so I'm going through a lot of grief, a lot.
Mm. Well, that's the mucus, right? The mucus is grief. We talked about to Katya about kapha is water and earth, and you'll have it in your lungs. It's all that, you know, watery, sticky stuff. So when kapha moves out, you will experience the emotions as well. And then your attention, your attachment will go to seeing these events. There could be somebody else in your neighborhood that doesn't even look at these events, but they have a different way of looking at it because their window and how their elements are active is different. So it's a whole body experience right now that's also in your mind and your emotion, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you just let it move through with the awareness that none of these things are defining who you are, and to remain restful and quiet as consciousness as these events are moving through you and also in the world around you. Are you still there? Did I lose you here?
No, I'm here. I'm here.
Okay. Of course, you know, we have karma with the country we are born in, right? Some people, they move away at some point or something happens. And there's no good or bad. Whatever your dharma is, your truth. And when you are conscious, you see, there's always an element of service. We don't even understand that the moment you actually are not attached to anything or have no repulsion, you're actually also service, because you're actually holding a point of light in order to bring peace to the surrounding area that is benefiting everybody, right?
Okay.
Something else? There's a big question mark.
What came up quite a lot is the sense of sacredness.
What was the first sentence? Something with sacredness?
The sense of getting a sense of sacredness. You know, I seem to not able to connect. I don't know how to explain it, actually.
Okay, that's good. That's good. You know, becoming aware that there's confusion. Confusion is an opening for learning, because suddenly you're breaking out of a pattern that doesn't work for you anymore. So you're trying something. That's very good. So if there's something new, something more awareness coming in, what is it you're looking for? What is it you're searching here?
I don't know. I suppose it's. I don't know. Well, I really don't know.
It's like empty, the mind can't think right now?
Yeah, actually it is a bit like that.
Is that a bit of blackout in the mind? Okay.
Yeah, it's almost like a blank.
Yes, good. Perfect. Beautiful.
Okay.
Okay, well, when we're like that, we laugh, right? Because we're just naturally happy. And you can be happy. But this happens when you're not identified with thought. There's blank.
Okay.
And at the same time, you're giving your body really the reins now to take care of what it does, because you're not blocking it through thinking. The thinking process distorts nature, right? It kind of causes disease. So right now, when you blink, your body's healing really perfectly. It knows what to do. So it's a good thing.
But then why do I still feel then this, whatever else is happening on another level, you know, this... it's cleansing and purging and, you know,
because you're alive, because you're not dead, you're alive. You can feel everything you want to continue to feel and experience, but you don't want to suffer, which means that you don't want to attach yourself to this experience or try to push it away. You have a little bit of an aversion to experiences.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I totally get that. I mean, the hardest thing is to get past the attachment to the body, the identification. It's, in fact, once we're not identified with the body, your embodiment will be easier. You'll be more youthful. You'll be able to heal better. Because now you're not just this date, like today, what is it, just February 25th, 2017, the age of this body and all these stories in it and this name and this label, and suddenly it's this box that starts to get brittle and ages. When you are not identified and attached with this body anymore, it becomes very fluid and very spacious, and it begins to change and to breathe the existence, and it rejuvenates, and a lot more is possible. And it's much, much easier living like that. So, but notice when you have an aversion. And if you do, don't get down on yourself. Just sometimes things are hard. It's also okay to notice how our nature is fighting things. Who you are cannot be described, not seen. You just have to be aware of it, right? Okay. It's not about shutting down the feelings, not shutting down the emotions, and none of that. It's just being conscious that it's happening. In my deepest despairs or things that were incredibly painful when life would push me, because I'm a strong person, life would just push me so hard. Circumstances would happen because I wouldn't give up, right? So it's just like, okay, you need to be crushed. So I would just go on my knees, put my head down on the ground, you know, so to kind of curl in a little bit, I remember, and I would just go, because then everything was dark, right? I'd close my eyes, and then I would just be in my interior space, really paying attention to what was I feeling, where was the suffering, where was my struggle, and I would just fly through it and let go and let go and let go until, bang, I would just drop through, and then everything was gone, you know? So,
Okay, so that's like really just staying with it as it arises.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Because I'm also feeling that there's like this in my heart area, almost, it's not painful, but to describe it, I'll say painful.
It does happen when the heart begins to open. I remember in the last modules, I talk about this wound, you know, it actually starts hurting. The heart can really ache when it starts to open. Yeah. Yeah, that's normal. You might put your hand there, you know, and just kind of experience it and just feel into it, yeah. I think you will have a little more cleansing going on for a while, so be prepared. But you're really going to a whole new, like almost like a rebirth, you know.
So okay, that's fine. I'm willing to do that.
Yeah, just think a few more months, I think, you know, so don't okay. So that you don't think, oh, it has to be over in 3 weeks, okay?
Okay, good.
All right. Thank you, Cindy. Okay, bye. Okay, we have one more caller, which is in Bedford. Hello? 603? Yes. Hello? Yes,
yes.
Who's that?
Leslie.
Oh, Leslie, hi there. Isn't that your birthday? It was yesterday, right?
Oh, yeah.
Happy birthday.
Thank you so much. I don't have any questions. This has all been really great. I was just wondering if I could connect with you for
a minute. Okay. Well, you're still in your birthday energy a little bit, so. Do you feeling a little overwhelmed lately?
A little bit. I do feel like I'm kind of processing a bunch of stuff, but.
Try to be just here right now. No processing. Let's forget about that. I'm going to bring this up in the next module. I'll say it already, is that it's going to be more important to just be still than to process. Because we're just in this digital time, so I'm noticing it can be distracting. So just be still. Just don't care right now, whatever happens. Just be still and enjoy more your stillness or what you are, which you cannot name. Just your existence, your presence.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You have some kundalini going, right? Do you feel hot sometimes? Do you feel hot sometimes or a lot of energy motions?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that will sometimes appear as overwhelming. There's a lot of Shakti moving. It just stirs up the karmas, right? So it's okay. Just be okay with sometimes a lot of movement, you know? Just okay. It's like a lot of noise. Think of you're in a mall and you hear all different sounds. It's okay. You can still be okay. You don't have to make it all quiet. So it's like, just know there's a lot going on. It's okay. And Mother Shakti just takes care of it. Yeah. There's nothing you need to control or organize. It's just all happening inside you. Take a deep breath. Good. So let's go right into, thanks, Leslie. I'll unmute you and then we're going to go into the meditation. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Good. So let's go all into meditation right away. And just being here with whatever is. Thank you. Thank you. And maybe I'll talk to you tomorrow again. You can keep sitting if you like. Thanks for being here. Bye. Have a good day, good evening. Thanks. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.